Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer. We're live from the New York Stock Exchange. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures. We get started with trading, of course, 1/2 hour from now. You can see we are looking for what would be a higher open, as we like to say here. Higher. Yeah. All right. Let's get to our roadmap this morning. It does start with, well, some optimism, perhaps, involving the trade war. Stocks are set, as you saw, for some strong gains at the open, although still on track to break that 2-month winning streak. Plus, pharmaceutical stocks rallying. This ahead of the open, and this after Johnson & Johnson received a smaller-than-expected judgment against it involving its sale of opioids in Oklahoma. And Facebook targeting Snapchat again, the social network reportedly developing a new messaging app that would allow even more sharing between friends. Sharing. We share.
Look,
we're always sharing.
The market's up. And people just therefore presume that something's happening. I've watched this market from 3:30 this morning till now peter up, and there's nothing.
It's nothing.
I mean, not even the bonds. There's nothing. But people will foment reasons about why it's going up, and I refuse to do that.
You refuse to do what? To explain?
Right. I mean, it's just up. People, I think that a lot of people recognize that without a new tweet that's destructive, they better get a little longer.
So we'll just get back to fundamentals for a while until we'll interrupt it again by a new update from the trade war.
Right, and we see...
It's hard to know which way that's going to go. I mean, yesterday, Jim, we obviously noted this along the way. It was very much unclear that there was any progress made whatsoever.
There was none. I don't think either side
wasn't even really
progress. They can say they want
phone
progress.
Calls. It was nothing.
Look, what matters is that without something new that's negative, people feel like they got to come back in. In the end, the process has actually not led to a bull market, so to speak. It's not going up. But I think that we have to just accept the fact that you must have something negative every day to keep driving it lower. And when we didn't, well, I mean, then the president, someone said to me the other day, the president's a really good chart reader. He came in exactly where he had to. you know what? I don't care. I mean, The seller stopped.
What do you make of the move in bonds? Again, we're inverted again on the 210. Yeah, now we don't throw our hands up and we don't have screeching alarms or anything like that.
No, because
sort of
we got tired of
it.
We got tired of that rap. I don't think we talk enough about how the Fed is no longer as friendly to the stock market as it was. I think a lot of the rally was that the Fed's your friend. Now, it's not necessarily your friend or your foe.
Are they data dependent or trade war dependent? Right?
We don't know. And I think that if you're Jay Powell and you don't know who's the worst, whether you're worse for the economy or she's worse for the economy, I don't think you're necessarily going to be able to say, yeah, I love this guy. There's got to be such antipathy right now. I question how often we get antipathy. Now, of course, the readers will say there's always a lot. Jay Powell is very low key.
Yes.
But this is a really untenable situation with the president.
Well, what is it? A 30-year of trading below 2%, the 210s, again, we know where they are. And everybody will tell you, listen, it's only a reflection of the fact that there's nowhere else in the world to even get a positive yield, or virtually nowhere else. It's not a function at all of a reflection of a negative view of the future of this economy.
I agree with that. We have a very healthy consumer. I met with Kevin Johnson yesterday. He's the CEO of Starbucks. And people say, well, Jim, that's a measure of coffee that he says the consumer's good. I say that's nonsense. He is the panoply of the whole country, and he charges, some people think, too much for coffee, where you can get coffee cheaper with styrofoam that I think wrecks the economy.
I get it for $1.50 from my guy, the cart. And I enjoy it, by the way.
David,
I enjoy it right now.
I'm paying $2. But he gives me a free muffin. Mm. But you can very easily say, look, things are great when you talk to Kevin Johnson, because throughout the country.
You also asked him about the trade war as well.
Is that a segue to showing your tape?
Yeah,
is that what you did?
Let's listen to what he had to say when it came to, of course, the seemingly increased tensions around trade between China, where Starbucks has an enormous presence, and the U.S.
50,000 people.
You look at the geopolitical situation, I think everybody recognizes it's better for all nations and all merchants to be able to have, a good global trade environment. And I believe we'll get there.
You know, they all say the same thing. And I'm not saying that he doesn't believe that.
Right.
But you and I both know when we sit down with these CEOs in private and we have conversations with them, that's not what they're saying.
No, what they're saying is there's going to be a recession if this trade war doesn't reach some sort of conclusion. And then the president will lose in the fall if there's a recession. And that may not be so good for business because some of the, like Bernie Sanders really come on strong. I think it's safe to say that Joe Biden doesn't really have that fastball.
No,
he used to.
But apart from the election, I mean, I think that CEOs are generally optimistic. They do believe that this will get resolved because it makes sense that it will. But you know what? We've been hearing this for well over a year now.
I don't think the president...
year and a half. Many of them are more, I think, pessimistic when you speak to them privately than they are when they make a comment on your show or this show or any show.
Brian Goldner, whom we speak to later from Hasbro, trying to reduce his exposure to China. Doing some reporting this weekend, I've been emphasizing Vietnam as a place that companies are going to. The administration doesn't like Vietnam if it's transshipment from China. They want Malaysia, they want Indonesia, and they want United States. And there has not been a big, move back to United States.
No, there hasn't been a move back to United States.
Stanley Black and Decker did.
In a significant way.
No.
There have been some, but it has not really amounted to anything you would argue is large.
There was a piece this morning about Whole Foods pricing. Pricing's coming down. Throughout the system, we are seeing downward pressure on prices, not upward. That should not be happening. The techs are all seemingly very wrong. Employment strong, tariffs. There should be upward pressure on everything. There's not. I can't find upward pressure in a world where Costco and Walmart and Amazon and Target are beating each other around the head. There is no upward pressure on the consumer. The Fed has said there's been forecasts that $800 increase for tariff. I deal on the ground with companies. They have not raised prices. They've been eating a lot of the price increases. Now, the Retail Federation always says the next round of tariffs is going to be very difficult. But so far, so good for the consumer.
Right. And the president pointing out, we're talking about $100 billion or near what will be near $100 billion collected in terms of tariffs since they were put into effect. Jim, you and I...
they first said that that wasn't... The media was saying that it really isn't collecting. The fact that it's collecting, but it's not necessarily Xi writing a check to the United
No,
States.
The Chinese are not writing the check. Even Peter Navarro will still argue
Peter.
The other side of that. Yeah, your buddy.
My buddy.
He is.
Okay.
He is. He's your buddy.
Why is he my buddy?
Because that's how you describe him all the time.
I never called him my buddy.
What have you called him?
Chief.
You haven't
Sunshine.
You haven't chiefed him yet. All right, you and I talked yesterday about Johnson & Johnson, of course, as we awaited
a big win, David.
From a judge in Oklahoma. The shares are up in the pre-market this morning. That judge ruling the company did help fuel the state's opioid crisis. He ordered J&J to pay $572 million in penalties. Now, that is less than analysts had been expecting. Meg Terrell's been following this from the beginning. She joins us from Norman, Oklahoma, and, of course, was also there for the verdict. Meg, should we be surprised that the stock is up, or does that make sense?
David, if you look at what analysts were kind of pegging the result to be, the stock is up because it's so much less. You know, Wall Street was looking for maybe $1 to $2 billion that J&J could have been ordered to pay here. The state, of course, was looking for $17 billion. So comparatively, that $572 million is a lot less. But if you look at the judge's order, his language was pretty strong. He said that J&J marketed aggressively, quote, that its marketing was false, deceptive, and misleading, that it caused exponentially increasing rates of addiction and overdose deaths here in the state of Oklahoma. And, of course, that $572 million he ordered them to pay is to abate this opioid crisis at least for 1 year. We talked after the decision with Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter, who had a message directly for J&J CEO Alex Gorsky.
I challenge the CEO to put his money where his mouth is. The Business Roundtable, of which he's a member, has made the very daring statement that they're going to start looking out for people outside of their shareholders. This is a responsibility to put action behind his words.
Now, immediately after the decision, Johnson & Johnson said it plans to appeal, said it's not responsible for the opioid crisis here in the state, and that it marketed responsibly. Of course, J&J wasn't the only defendant in this case. Teva and Purdue had also been named, but they settled. And Wells Fargo had a note out this morning saying this case shows that while Purdue had been pretty much the sole corporate face of the opioid crisis, this case shows that it's not anymore. Johnson & Johnson now being found liable in this case. And it's what it's going to pay is much more than what Purdue settled for. Of course, everybody is now looking forward to what this means for future cases. J&J's attorney, who we talked to after the decision last night, said we shouldn't extrapolate. Here's what she said.
The cases that are consolidated in the MDL proceeding in Cleveland, Ohio, are under different law. They have different parties, different theories, and so we do believe that those are very different.
But guys, of course, extrapolate is what Wall Street is now doing. And you saw a lot of stocks, not just Johnson & Johnson's, popping last night as this ruling was less than Wall Street expected. But as the dust is kind of settling this morning, you are seeing analysts coming out and saying, maybe this doesn't look so good when you extrapolate it out to the thousands of cases that are about to be heard in Ohio if no settlement is reached. Wells Fargo saying they spoke to one of the companies involved in that litigation and they're hearing updates every day and potentially pushing toward a settlement. And even Johnson & Johnson in its statement last night said a settlement in that case is potentially on the table. So is this case changing the way companies are thinking about the overall litigation? We're going to be following this very closely. Back to you guys.
Yeah. Meg, thank you. Yeah, back to Ohio, of course, Jim, is where it's going to be very important.
Right,
as Meg pointed out, multi-district federal court, different law being applied there in terms of what they
may have
done wrong.
Public nuisance is Oklahoma. Just be
correct.
Sure J&J telling me, look, this is Oklahoma Supreme Court is going to be going to file promptly.
In terms of the appeal from
the appeal,
them in
right, and they're based on both fact and law, all right? Their products, a crush-resistant pill and a patch, had low rates of abuse and diversion. I think that's one of the reasons
they said
they didn't want to.
8% of the overall market.
Yeah, 1% of the, right. But here's the, David, the real thing that is we go against, if you're J&J, you rolled the dice with the court. And I don't know why that is, but I think maybe they just don't want to set a precedent writing checks.
Well, they are by far the most deep-pocketed of any of these companies
they
that
have,
are big.
They're
Purdue's.
They're triple
they filed, but they're yeah.
right. Yeah, geez. I mean,
and Mallinckrodt is
geez. But they're AAA, which is one of just two balance sheets that's AAA, Microsoft the other. And I think that they want to fight because they have the money to fight.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that that lawyer was talking about the business roundtable. I mean,
by the way, that was very interesting to me that the Oklahoma Attorney General mentioned that business roundtable finding. What I'm not even sure. Communique, I guess we want to call it that. Shareholder value is not necessarily the only thing that they're going to be focused on. Now, of course, J&J has the credo. For a long time, if you read that thing, you know, shareholders are just part of it. But they've claimed to have a responsibility to a lot of other people,
well,
what the Business Roundtable is now talking about.
Right. I mean, but Alex Gorsky has spent a huge amount of time on
it. It's the first time I've heard that Business Roundtable change cited, and it's fascinating what this is really going to mean, if anything.
Well, there's still
We've talked a bit about the rise of ESG investing.
Right.
In other words, you know,
But they still make the product because the doctors want. I mean, the issue is whether it was overprescribed. And
right.
The other guys actually, of course, did much more. But J&J felt that they did much less, and therefore, why should they settle? And they ended up having to pay much more. But, of course, they're going to go to the Supreme Court. Now, I don't know about the Oklahoma Supreme Court. I don't know much. I don't know. To me, the fact of law.
But we move
wrong.
On now, as Meg said, to Cleveland and to that case where
right.
a lot of other cases are consolidated. And that would seem to be very important in terms of trying to determine what, right. if any, is going to be the ultimate liability.
My child trust on J&J, I've told the company this is the toughest it's ever been to own this stock. Just the toughest. Because you have talc and you have this. And J&J is adamant that they didn't do anything wrong. And I've got to tell you, David, there's an argument that because they're the honeypot, that they have so much money, that the plaintiff bar is salivating against J&J, and they know that drug companies are not light. They're not.
No.
I mean, where are they in the hierarchy of disliked companies? Rather high. Should they be? Who cares?
All right, up next, we're going to have Jim's Mad Dash. We'll count you down to the opening bell, of course. We've got about 15 minutes until we get started with trading here at the NYSE. As you can see, we are expecting a higher open. More Squawk on the Street straight ahead. right, time for a mad dash, of course, to get ready for the opening bell here at the NYSC. Want to talk a little Chipotle.
Yes. David, this is one of the few stocks. It's very much like when you first got in the business of what we do. They have a new product, and people buy the stock with a new product. And by the way, yesterday with Kevin Johnson, a pumpkin latte cold nitro. No, pumpkin latte cold, not nitro. Nitro is what the millennials like. That's driving that stock. Now, David, the carne asada is coming mid-September. And SunTrust says, we expect a September national launch of carne asada to drive check and traffic. David, this is like the old days. A new product, hip hip hooray. And you know what? It's going to happen
really?
Because,
I mean,
yes.
This thing has, and
well, it's
you know,
got,
you rightly called it in terms
thank
of
you.
More or less how long it would take to
right,
recover from all
right.
of the problems. And it's been off to the races since.
Well, I mean, then Jack Hartung, CFO, he stayed throughout the period, this whole tough time. He bought back a ton of stock then. Everyone laughed at him.
Right.
Like, why do you keep buying back stock? He had faith in the enterprise. And then Brian Nickel comes in, and he's just got, he's going technological. He's making it so that there's tremendous delivery, and they've got great go pickup, and they've got the lines that have been shorter. And, David, I've got to tell you, that this is the way it used to trade. High, mid-single digit, high, you know, low double digit growth. There is an appetite. People have very, very forgiveness-like traits in our country. Or you could say they don't have any memory. Because you remember when the rat was here, and you remember when the people were sick. I remember the de novo virus and the Boston College and Oregon and the hell was that?
Yeah,
forget
knows?
That.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, was that Taco Bell? What was that? Was that Pizza Hut? I mean, people don't remember Jack. So this can go up. Look at this year-to-date 92%. How's FANG done for you?
Not that well.
Yeah, 92%. Well, and by the way, Restaurant Brands is up very big. And have you had the new chicken sandwich from Popeyes?
I have not.
You can't get it.
My son has. Yeah, he's
really?
Very
good. Line out the door.
But also, to your point, these are in favor right now in the market as well.
Do you ever?
It's a way to play the consumer.
Yeah.
It's a way to not be involved in any trade war issues. So QSR, McDonald's,
this is why you,
and this name.
What does this have
other.
To do with whether there were two calls, three calls, no calls, seven calls, many calls, busy singles, nothing.
You heard it. Nothing. All right. Still to come. Well, speaking of China, Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner. He'll talk about everything from the state of the consumer to that $4 billion deal to acquire Entertainment One to how things are going.
Yeah.
In terms of making stuff in China.
We've
got the opening bell 10 minutes from now. Stay with us on Squawk on the Street. All right, we're going to get started with trading in 7 minutes. You can see we are expecting a higher open, though the month's still trending lower. Opening bell, just a few minutes away.
Wow.
All right, you're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street. We're live from the financial capital of the world. We've got an opening bell 4 minutes from now. I want to get to some breaking news. In fact, it's something, Jim, that I was following a bit yesterday as this heated up, so to speak. And now we have confirmation. Philip Morris International is in discussions with Altria regarding a potential all-stock merger of equals. The two companies confirmed in a press release that was just issued moments
this is extraordinary.
Ago.
Putting these two
I want to mention
again?
This only because yesterday the stock started to move.
Right.
I'd heard about it a bit. Frankly, was unsuccessful in sort of getting anywhere on it. Bonnie Herzog, the well-followed analyst at Wells Fargo who covers this industry, did put a note out later yesterday noting the move in PM, which was down almost 5%, and MO. Of course, Altria was up 1.5%. By the
right.
way, merger of equals, I mean, Altria is far smaller than Philip Morris International. These two companies used to be one company.
They were one company.
And just to share Herzog's analysis, because it's what we've got for you right now, she said the Juul stake, remember
right,
that huge deal that Altria did that I, of course, made a lot of because they spent an enormous amount of money for, what was it, a 35% stake? It was more than that. With no path to control for Juul, but it showed you how they viewed their future and the future overall of people actually inhaling tobacco that's wrapped in paper, at least. She said, given Juul's clear dominance of the U.S. e-cig vapor market and international ambitions, IQOS, that's the Philip Morris International entrant into this area, is worth more to Philip Morris by owning Altria. Also will capture the full margin and accelerate the growth of IQOS in the U.S., given its full control over sales and distribution.
Wow.
She said it would be an opportunity to accelerate the growth rollout, the overall global rollout, of IQOS. And, of course, PM could invest in Altria's strong U.S. free cash flow as well. So that's all we've got right now on this. They've told us they won't make further they won't have further discussions. Now, you know what? I should have if they're UK or they're bound by different law, because, of course, there are certain markets where you have to, if there is something going on, you have to actually confirm it once it's made its way into the press,
which
this had.
That's what it was, right. You know, Altria took a 35% stake in Juul.
Yes, they did.
And for $12.8 billion, valuing it at $38 billion.
Right.
And I think that Juul has been the winner versus the Philip Morris offering. Don't forget, Altria also has a stake in Cronos, the cannabis company. So this is a very strong company. I mean, you know what, David? This is like Viacom and CBS. Except Denny Dimitri, who was the architect of this breakup, created a lot of money, created a lot of wealth with Morris and Altria.
Right.
But you know what? This market is going so quickly. I totally understand.
What I am interested in part, though, is the differential in market caps would have indicated this would be a purchase by Philip Morris. However,
the stocks are
in this press release, they are talking about it being a merger of equals, which would mean you're obviously greatly increasing the value of Altria to make it a merger of equals.
Yeah.
Under which, now we'll see what the respective, and by the way, they're probably negotiating something like this, but what the respective ownership would be of the two shareholder bases, management. But typically a merger of equals means shared board, very similar ownership in terms of both shareholder bases, management combined to a certain extent. Got a lot of questions.
I remember Altria, a 45% stake in Cronos. I remember when PM was supposed to be your growth vehicle and Altria was your income deal.
Right.
But look at PM. PM is just a huge, it's not growing at all. And it has summed it. Well, look, it's mainly an Altria. It's kind of switched in terms of the dividend.
All right.
I shouldn't say it's not growing at all.
Let's get back to what's going on here at the big board for a moment. Of course, you heard the opening bell. Evergy, that's created by the recent merger of Great Plains Energy and Westar Energy over at the NASDAQ, did the honors, over at the NASDAQ. Altera is a provider of software, cloud solutions, and product development, high performance compute. Their name's too long.
I'm blown away by this. Philip Morris getting hit, yield six, has been growing at 4%. I guess, David, this must be saying that Juul's worth a lot more than we think. Even though the pushback on Juul's pretty...
Well, you know, but again, I would just point out, based on what I recall, Philip Morris has no control over Juul. They have a couple of board seats, I believe. Remember, they
Altria,
were even willing
Altria,
to
no
take
control.
That...
I know, right.
Altria.
I know, it's confusing.
I know. Altria, M-O, symbol M-O, has no control over Juul.
No.
Juul is an independent company of which they own a significant economic stake, 35%, which they paid an enormous price for, Jim, but they don't control what Juul does.
No.
And they have no ability to take control.
No.
Unless Juul says, please come in.
I still think that Philip Morris wants that. I really do. This is an extraordinary move. And
just take the combined market caps, it's a $100 billion deal, at least.
To put Viacom back together with CBS.
Just to put it in perspective, it's the largest deal, certainly, that will have taken place this year if it actually gets to the finish line. I'd love to get some color on where things stand.
Can you step off the desk and I'll take the show?
I don't think I can step off right now and who's involved and what, but we'll see. Well, hopefully we'll get a little more color. I did make a couple calls this morning and got Zippo back.
Well,
nobody calls back anymore.
This matters. There haven't been a lot of deals of late, David. I started to think that maybe we're out of the deal phase of this market because people are frozen because of the tariffs.
People are surprised, I think, to say the least.
I'm shocked. I thought that Altria was frankly doing so much better than Philip Morris. Why does Altria have to go with Philip Morris? I think that Altria was doing so many things right. I don't recommend the tobacco stocks, but I think that Howard Willard was doing a fantastic job. And, I wonder whether
when
he gets to continue.
These two companies separate, Jim? Do you
Denny was the CFO.
It's a long time ago. as we see them. Again, Altri is up sharply because what we have learned from this is obviously there are talks and they're talking about, more importantly, a merger of equals, which would imply a higher valuation for Altri and a lower valuation for Philip Morris, given at least the respective market caps of the two companies coming into these discussions.
12 years ago, and Altri is going to keep
12
climbing.
Years, yeah.
I do think that I thought that Philip Morris was the better value at the time just because it had 6% yield and because they still smoke like chimneys overseas. But people love this. You know, the more you talk about Juul, the more people say,
well,
it's
a fundamental change
like
in the way that people.
Juul's very defensive when you talk about how, you know, they've been doing this campaign. You got to be 21. They got rid of the watermelon, not they ever had watermelon. Juul makes them sound like they're like the patch. They are goodness personified.
Right.
Juul's kind of like a fairy tale, right?
Yep.
It's a kind of just from on high, helping
yep.
everyone.
Jeez.
Yeah. Cynical. I mean it. They're fantastic.
Yeah, look, see, that's my notes from yesterday.
I feel like if
Philip
I started
Morris, options moving, Altri both had canceled
yeah.
at various investment
Well, no,
meetings.
No, you had that.
I didn't have it. I didn't get there.
I would like to smoke
but
Juul.
We'll see if
I'm
they
sure
get there,
great.
Of course. There's
if
no assurance
Juul,
that these two companies are going to actually be able to reach a deal, as you always, right. as they always say in these press releases.
David, how about yeah. Smucker? We haven't hit Smucker at all.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's move on. Smucker, tell
Smucker,
me.
They kind of failed and missed on pretty many lines. Yeah, retail coffee is down 5%. That's suboptimal. Retail consumer down 17%. I don't think regard that as being too good. Retail pet foods. This is really interesting. The consensus was looking for $706 million. They came in at $669 million. We had felt that pet foods was a winner. Meow Mix, Milk-Bone, Kibbles, but this may be the natural organic food, the fresh pet. Yeah, you know, My stepson mistakenly thought the fresh pet was bologna in the refrigerator.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it looks just like bologna.
Yeah, but it said fresh pet.
Well, but, you know, Kraft Heinz, what's the difference? My bologna has a, B-O-C-L-M-A-Y-E-R. I mean, you know, geez.
Well, let's get back to Smucker for a moment here.
Sure.
Which is
I mean,
down
let's dig
6%.
Down. That's my Smucker memo. Now you have it. You look better than I do.
I do. Wow. Look at this. You get little CNBC Mad Money research memos.
It's called homework. I like
wow.
to do it. I'm not just there saying that
this.
Trump's the greatest president in the world like people think I'm saying. Yeah, this is really interesting. Now, David, this is one of the most amazing, stark things I've seen. Mark Smucker, whom I met, is an incredibly honest guy. Look at what he says. He says, our first quarter performance fell short of our expectations. How many CEOs are willing to say that?
Not too many.
Not too many.
Not too
they
many.
Usually say, listen, we had, and they pick one line that was good.
Right.
We had a good.
Sometimes you will hear we failed to execute
right.
On this opportunity or yeah, right. take full but, advantage and we're going to do better.
Yeah, it's
promise.
Just, no, it didn't. Yeah. It didn't come together for Smucker.
No. We continue to watch
no.
shares of Philip Morris International decline, now down 7.5%.
David, why? How can Roku be up every single day? How can
8%.
Roku be up every? This is the cord
Roku.
Cut. Roku means cord cut.
Yes,
the stock's unstoppable. It How
is.
Much cord cutting must there be every single day?
Cord cutting is just going to continue
every day,
all the time. And by the way, the cable companies at this point, and when I say cable, I really should be saying the internet providers in
right.
our country, the broadband providers, our parent company, of course, one of the leading ones, Charter as well, to a lesser extent, smaller Altice, but you know the name. They don't care anymore either. They're like,
they don't
fine.
Care.
Fine.
No one cares.
Let the video business go. Take it.
Well, then Roku
All we
gonna,
are about is providing broadband into the home.
Then Roku's going to keep
And we're
going
to keep raising the price there, slowly, but steadily.
Well,
and our video business, we didn't have a great margin anyway. So cord cutting, yeah, that will just keep
Bring
happening.
On cord cutting. Huh? It's kind of like the umbilical. It's David, this
Not
stock is up 380%.
When Disney Plus is in the marketplace with its three offerings, you know, you can get Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus for $13.
Millennials like to watch on this, right? This is a big thing.
Then
for them
you can
to
just put
on.
Up a digital antenna. What more do you need? Those digital antennas work pretty well. Just get your local station.
I have the Fire Stick. You have Fire Stick.
You're good.
Everything's fabulous.
So
everything's
Roku
great
continues
at home.
To benefit.
I bet
this.
Did you get the pizza, Papa John's?
I didn't.
No?
No,
I mean,
Is
people love
the
people
on
love the Papa
change?
John's in front of the TV,
yep.
and the stock's up a couple of bucks in this yep. new CEO. David, interesting that the other CEO didn't really get a lot of mention in the note.
There it is.
I had to go
up
Google.
Almost 5%. Yeah, Mr. Ritchie.
Yeah,
he
wow.
was.
Yeah.
He's no longer the CEO.
No, they don't let the, here's your hat, don't let the door hit you on the way out there, huh? David, there's a Verizon upgrade.
Shaquille O'Neal didn't like it.
There's a Verizon upgrade today that I think is significant. People want yield so bad. Excellent upgrade.
Verizon upgrade. I don't know what to make of that, Jim.
Well, someone had to say, someone had to do something. Hey, how about this, David? Parent company's debt were Comcast, hard to derail or distract, presumably outperformed by Wells Fargo.
Saw that too.
There's a good positive piece of research if I ever saw one.
Yeah, Comcast shares are up a bit.
This is OPCO. We upgrade Verizon,
don't forget,
downgrade
Comcast also owns Sky. I mean, it's only 5%, I think, but what happens if there's a Brexit? Maybe that's got to be a little bit of a concern.
Hard Brexit.
They own all obviously our networks that we control. You know, you talk about cord cutting. Well, that's not necessarily good when you're a cable network, is it?
I thought you just said it was fine.
It's fine for Comcast, the cable company. Is it fine for Comcast, the NBC company?
No.
It's never comfortable talking about our parent and our
I'm always uncomfortable.
Colleagues.
Let's skip it. Let's go right to oil companies.
Oil companies?
Kidding. David, Apple's been back.
Yeah.
And I know there was a negative article about FANG today, but everyone's picking on FANG.
Okay.
But Apple has become the, along with Starbucks, when are they going to boycott? When are they going to boycott? When are they going to boycott? David, no boycott yet in sight.
None.
So what does that mean? I mean, isn't the boycott, that would be the sign that they mean business.
Nationalism and boycott is not yet seemingly in the playbook that China's going to use.
Starbucks having extraordinary numbers in China.
And that's a good thing. If you did get to that, it would be, I mean, we've said this from the outset, that would be a very, very bad moment.
Right.
And apparently the Chinese are really reluctant to use that, pull that lever.
But we've got FANG moving up today. Just the day that they write off FANG is the day that FANG comes back. Facebook, a couple of new initiatives. Google saw an incredible note about the next $5 billion with JPMorgan, the next $5 billion that's coming for Google. Oh, Camping World, David, stay away there. They're talking about maybe it's Morgan Stanley note. Camping World note, that is about how recreational vehicles really falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
Camping World hanging in there.
Is it CWH? Yeah.
But, David, this unlocking of the $5 billion Google websites pipeline by Morgan Stanley, Brian Nowak, this is what? What's the matter?
Camping World is just...
Okay, so it's
Marcus got to say. What's
no,
he
it's
saying?
A, yeah, that's a tough one. That's what you say. It's a tough one. Right?
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Tough to own that one.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well. Okay.
Did you see this? Yeah, how about? Well, actually, we're going to. Morgan Brennan is going to have some.
That's going to be really good news. Darius Adamczyk is a hitter
at Honeywell. In terms of
he's a hitter.
He is.
Yep. I'm still blown away by. I'm sorry. I'm
convinced Philip Morris Altria is a
huge deal, and I can sit here and bemoan some bad research, but this is a huge. People don't understand. It was a seminal move when they broke these companies up.
Right.
It
took place in 2008. They announced it, and then it was done in 2008. The split, and now they are as they've confirmed. Talking about getting back together and what would be a merger of equals. And hence, again, to just repeat it, given the disparity in valuations, Altria is moving up and Philip Morris moving down.
Yeah.
Because if it is a true MOE and the ownerships are more or less in line, even if it's somewhere in the 50s and somewhere in the high 40s, whatever it may be, that's what you would do. So, by the way, they do say no guarantee, of course, as they always do. Hope to get a little more information for our viewers at some point during the course of the day to fill them in terms of where things really stand.
Meanwhile, J&J keeps inching higher. People, again, have to realize when you see a $500 million verdict, there were many pieces that came out within the last 4 days that it was going to be more than a billion. There's also an undercurrent that it will not hold up in the Supreme Court appeal. So that's another reason why J&J is not down. The naysayers are saying, well, you wait. We need to hear from Alex Gorsky to see whether he feels this Business Roundtable accusation, and I regard it as an accusation, that he's not doing enough for the stakeholders and for the country versus what he's done for veterans and how much he has spent in his time that is not earnings per share related but impact per share. And I find it insulting. They attack Alex Gorsky. It's insulting. It's probably the most, I'd say, give back CEO
he's a top 10 give back CEO. And to have it, this lawyer who just won a big deal attack Gorski is sad. It's sad what the man, what Gorski's done for anti-suicide.
Okay. But you're not making light of the opioid crisis in this country, which has killed tens of thousands of people and certainly was a result of certain drug companies absolutely abusing the system, without a doubt.
Purdue, Mallinckrodt.
It was just...
No, but 1% was J&J, and I think that they ended up paying, you know, tens of million more than the guys who really did it. But let's not forget the pill-pushing doctors who get away.
There are any number of villains in this story.
Multiple villains,
yes.
David.
But
it's good.
All right, we'll see.
Meanwhile, there's another run, David, in the plus 40% growers. It's happening again. Okta, Shopify, they can't stop. Plus 40%. Is the key to this market. You ask me, Okta is the key to this market.
Okta? Really?
Okta. Todd McKinnon. Yeah,
all right.
It's amazing.
You heard it, Bapasani. Okta. It's the key to this market. Let's get more on what's moving this morning. Head over to Bob.
Jim always has some interesting correlations here, and that's one to certainly chew on. I have an interesting correlation that may be breaking down. All 11 sectors of the S&P 500 had opened on the upside, yet yields are generally down. In fact, there's an inverted yield curve. We've got the 10-year 1.52, the 2 years at 1.55. That's inverted, and the market's not dropping. Maybe this correlation, which has been annoying everybody in August so much, is starting to break down a little bit. But you see, look at this. These are cyclicals up. Semis, energy, materials. Utilities are even up at this point. Banks are lagging, understandably, with the 10-year yield down today. So that makes a little bit of sense. So where are we in the month of August? Is there any hope for September? Well, it's been, all right, a crummy August, but that's the way it always is. So what are we down, 3% here for the month of August? This wasn't as bad as May. Remember May? We were down close to 6%. So everybody says, gee, it hasn't been as bad as then. There's hope springs eternal for September. More central bank cuts, maybe a truce in the trade war. You know the usual hopes for springing eternal for month of September. Where are we right now? I think the important thing is we're not that bad. I know there's all sorts of recession worries out there. August is only down 3%. We are 5% from a historic high on the S&P 500. As for the earnings concerns, which is what my department is, forward PE multiple now, 16.8, still a little bit high historically, but it was 17.5 back in July. So even that's come down. There's nothing terrible. Earnings, again, the thing I'm concerned about for the 2019, I have stuck with the flattish term for 5 months now. That is exactly what is materializing. Up in the first and second quarter, we're down in the third quarter, but that's probably going to turn positive. Fourth quarter, still a little bit high, but this is flattish for the year. The question is it going to stay that way? There have been some downgrades in earnings estimates on the cyclicals, on industrials, on materials, and certainly on energy stocks. So that's definitely occurred. But wholesale downgrades that would presage a recession-type environment, it hasn't happened. So I know there's a lot of concerns out there, but corporate America has not sounded the alarm on any recession probabilities in 2020, certainly at least not yet. And I think that's what everybody should focus on right now. Are you confused about what to do? Everybody is. I'll tell you something that's gotten a lot of interest. Let's just follow momentum. There is a very interesting momentum ETF out there that's gotten a lot of traction here, and that's this white line here. This is MTUM. It's been generally up all year, and right now it's outperforming the S&P 500 by a very small amount, 3 or 4 percentage points. What's in this momentum ETF, and how do you define it? Usually you just say momentum. Well, we've just got stocks that are moving faster than the overall market. Now, they refine this very interestingly. So here's what the major weightings here. You've got MasterCard, Procter & Gamble, Visa, Microsoft, and Disney. Wait a minute. What do these stocks have in common? Well, they don't seem to have much in common, but actually, by the refined definition of momentum in this group, that's what they are. They all have very strong momentum. What does momentum actually mean? It's a little more refined than just saying, oh, the prices are going up overall. Take a look. Under this definition, you have to have 6-month price appreciation combined. It's two factors with a 12-month price appreciation. It's not short term, but intermediate term, this price moving and lower volatility than the overall market in the last 3 years. So it's a sort of refined momentum model. It's been working very well. And for people who are confused and say, look, I just want to follow the trend in the market and maybe outperform, that was the one that people are looking at. Let's go over to Rick Santelli standing by in Chicago. Rick.
Thanks, Robert. You know, if you look at intraday of 2 years, they're unchanged. For most part, the last hour, they were up one. Let's move down the curve. 150, down 4 basis points. Matter of fact, at 198, as you see on the intraday 10, at 198, at 30 years, down a half a dozen basis points. Now, we can look at 10s to 2s, and if you have a really sharp pencil, yesterday it closed negative by like a half a basis point. But right now it's about 4 basis points inverted. I always pay more attention to closes. But one thing I can tell you, if you look at the recent spat of data, obviously it isn't an A plus, but it's certainly B minus, C plus areas, especially durables. We had retail sales that were firm. Atlanta GDP for the third quarter was upgraded yesterday to 2.3. Does that sound like recession to you? Come on, people, do your homework. Inverted curve, look to Europe. Think about their September 12th meeting coming up, where we're going to have another potential bazooka of liquidity fired. Now, if you look at 10 years at the scene of the double bottom, the first one was in 2012, July, the second one, 2016, right around 136-ish. That means we're, what, 15 basis points away in 10s from all-time low yields. Finally, year-to-date of the Treasury VIX. Still coming down, but at major elevated levels. Look at the last couple of tops. So we need to monitor that volatility. It's associated in both directions, up and down yields. Finally, the dollar versus yuan. Boy, oh boy, the dollar is just flying against that currency. Best levels since Feb 2008. David, Jim, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Still to come, we're going to be talking about the future for Hasbro. And we'll do that by speaking with CEO Brian Goldner about, well, China, the state of the consumer, but perhaps most importantly, his company's $4 billion deal to acquire Entertainment One that was announced after the close on Thursday. We'll be right back. All right, it would be more than a $100 billion deal. That's kind of what I'm assuming if you assume a merger of equals between $122 billion and $88 billion market cap company before the trading today, when we learned that Philip Morris International is in discussions with Altria Group regarding a potential all-stock merger of equals. We're back with Stop Trading after this. Let's get to Stop Trading with Jim.
You know, David, Amgen had been very out of favor on Wall Street. Then they won an Enbrel ruling, but most importantly, they paid $13 billion plus to get Otezla from Celgene in order to make it so Bristol-Myers is going to be able to merge with Celgene. Suddenly, people who hated Amgen are recognizing that now they have Enbrel and they have Otezla, and you can't hate Amgen anymore just because they have Repatha, which is a cholesterol drug that's not selling that well, Aimovig, which is a migraine drug, which is selling okay, and then they have some cancer drugs in the pipeline that could be excellent. So Amgen is back in favor. It's really quite extraordinary that you could pay $13 billion and have it be added.
Yeah, and it was a price that was above what people thought
people
they would get for that asset, particularly as a forced seller.
And once again, David, I think it's Juul that's behind the largest deal of the year. I'm sorry that I could not contribute more on this, but I've been close to Altria, and their stake in Juul is what they think is the future.
Well, Philip Morris International's tagline is delivering a smoke-free future.
Do you feel like taking it up? I mean, it's so healthy.
No. What do you got on MAD tonight?
That's being facetious, by the way. I still think that filling your lungs with anything other than air is not so great. I have Splunk, which has been down for a long time. Doug Mertz, a fabulous CEO.
Oh, my God. You got
Mark Schneider
from Nestle?
Who is so good. I've been begging
him.
David, I book and I book and I book.
Man. God.
David, I am a booking magician and everybody knows that. You want to listen to my podcast?
Podcast?
I got one.
All right. Coming up.
Book show.
Oh, he's
sorry.
Coming back. You're not leaving. I mean, you are, and then you're coming back.
Yes, I am.
Because Jim's going to help us interview Brian Goldner, of course, the CEO of Hasbro. Lots to talk to him about. Keep it right here. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.